Welcome to this Ableton Live 12 lesson on humanizing old school D&B swing from scratch. If you've ever heard a drum loop that feels tight, dusty, and alive all at the same time, that's the vibe we're chasing here. Not sloppy, not random, just controlled imperfection, the kind that gives jungle, rollers, and darker drum and bass that unmistakable push-pull feel. In this lesson, we're building that groove from the ground up. We'll start with a clean drum template, add breakbeat movement, shape swing with timing and velocity, then lock the whole thing together with a bass line that actually breathes with the drums instead of fighting them. We'll also use resampling, because in D&B, the feel is not just in the MIDI, it's in the audio once the groove has been captured and reshaped. Let's get straight into it. Start a fresh Ableton Live 12 project, and set the tempo to 172 BPM. That's a great middle ground for this style. Fast enough to feel like proper D&B, but slow enough that you can really hear the swing, the ghost notes, and the timing details. Set up a few tracks right away. You want a drum rack for your main kick, snare, hats, and percussion. You want an audio track for a breakbeat loop. You want a MIDI track for your bass. And if you like, set up a return track with reverb or delay for throws and little transition moments. This organization matters more than people think. Old school style swing works best when the different rhythm layers can move independently. Your kick and snare might stay pretty disciplined, while the hats, break fragments, and ghost percussion do the humanizing work around them. On the drum rack, load a simple core kit. Keep it dry at first. You want a short, punchy kick, a snare or clap layer with body, a crisp closed hat, maybe an open hat or ride for forward motion, and one extra percussion hit like a rim or metallic tick. Don't overdo the sound design yet. The point is to hear the groove clearly before you start sweetening it. Now program a straight 2-bar pattern in MIDI. No swing yet. Get the foundation in place first. Put the kick on beat 1. And maybe add an extra kick before beat 3 if you want a little syncopation. Put the snare on 2 and 4. Add closed hats on the offbeats or a simple 16ths. Then drop in 1 or 2 light ghost percussion hits before or after the snare. At this stage, the loop might feel a little basic, and that's perfect. You need to hear the grid version so you can understand what changes later. Now duplicate the clip and start humanizing it. This is where the old school feel starts to appear. Leave the snare mostly stable. That's your anchor. Then loosen some of the hats by nudging a few of them slightly late, maybe 5 to 15 milliseconds. Pull one or two ghost hits a little earlier, maybe 5 to 10 milliseconds. You're not breaking the rhythm. You're creating a little tension around the rhythm. That contrast is one of the key ideas in this style. In a live old school D&B grooves, the snare feels solid, but the supporting detail moves around it. That's what gives the loop life. Now bring in a breakbeat layer. You can use a classic break loop on an audio track, or if you want more control, slice it to MIDI later. For now, start with an audio so you can hear the natural groove. Choose a break with some clear ghost notes, hats, and a strong snare transient. Turn warp on. Use beats mode and preserve transients. Then line up the downbeat carefully so the loop sits cleanly in time. Once it's aligned, start editing it like an instrument. Keep the main snare hits strong. If there are low-end hits in the break that fight your kick, reduce or remove them. Bring up ghost notes and shuffles with clip gain or volume automation. If needed, split the break and nudge one or two slices slightly later, just enough to feel more human. This is where the history of jungle really comes alive. Breaks carry that rough, record-like movement that programmed drums alone often miss. Even a simple break layer can make the whole loop feel more organic, because it adds all those tiny spaces and variations between the obvious hits. If you want more precision, you can also use slice to new MIDI track and rebuild the break inside drum rack. That's a great move for D&B, because each chop becomes its own playable drum voice. You can treat ghost hits, hats, and snare fragments like separate parts of the groove instead of one fixed loop. Now let's talk about groove pool. Ableton's groove pool is powerful here, but the key is subtlety. You do not want exaggerated house style swing. Old school D&B swing is lighter, more nervous, more layered than that. It's not about making everything bounce the same way. It's about giving select elements a little drift, while the main backbone stays reliable. Try a light 16 swing groove, or an MPC style groove with modest timing variation. If your break already has a strong feel, you can even extract a groove from it and use that as the source. Apply groove mostly to the hats, ghost percussion, break layer, and small fills. Keep the kick and main snare more rigid, and keep the bass notes mostly clean as well. A good starting point is around 10 to 25% timing, with very little random unless the groove feels too stiff. You can add a bit of velocity variation too, maybe 5 to 15%, but don't overcook it. If the grue starts sounding lazy or late, back it off. That contrast is important. One layer stable, another layer loose. If everything is swung equally, the track can get blurry instead of funky. Now go into the MIDI clip and shape the feel with velocity and note link. For hats, make the main offbeat strong but not harsh. Secondary hats can sit lower in velocity, and ghost hats or tiny ticks should be very soft. For snares, keep the main hits powerful and consistent, but any ghost snare layers should be much lower. For kicks, keep the main hits punchy and use softer support kicks only when they help phrasing. Then tighten the note lengths. Shorten hats so they don't smear into the snare. Keep the snare body where you want it. Tighten any low-end percussion so it doesn't muddy the sub-region. Small details like this make the whole loop feel more expensive. Here's a really useful old-school trick. Duplicate the snare and layer a quieter rim or clap just a little ahead of the main snare. We're talking maybe 10 to 15 milliseconds early. That creates a tiny lean into the backbeat. It adds attitude without making the snare feel late. That kind of detail is all over classic break-led DDNB. Now that the groove feels good, resample it. This is one of the most powerful workflows in drum and bass. Recording the groove to audio captures not just the notes, but the texture of the timing. It makes the loop feel more like a record and less like a piano roll. Create an audio track for resampling, route your drum bus or master to it, and record a few bars of the groove. Once it's printed, you can trim the best section, cut tiny fragments, reverse little bits if you want, and process the audio further. Try a bit of saturator with just a few dB of drive. Maybe add soft clip if you need it. A subtle drum bus can add weight and crunch, but be careful not to flatten the groove. If the break and kick are fighting, use Sequate to cut some mud in the low mids, maybe around 200 to 350 Hz. Resampling matters because it turns timing decisions into sound design. At that point, the groove is no longer just a pattern. It's a texture. Now let's design the bass pocket around those swung drums. Use something simple at first, like a sine or triangle sub, or a restrained Reese layer built in Waveeatable, Operator, or simpler. Keep the bass line easy to read. You want it to support the groove, not smother it. A good bass setup is often a clean mono sub layer plus a mid layer with some detuning or harmonic grit. Keep the sub centered and mono using utility. Let the mid layer be a little wider if you want, but protect the low end. When you write the line, think about conversation, not constant motion. Let the sub breathe where the kick needs space. Use short bass stabs on offbeats if you want call and response energy. Don't hit every kick unless you're intentionally going for a harder, more rigid pattern. And if you want a lazy roller feel, let some notes sit just behind the beat. A useful processing chain here is EQ8 to high pass the mid layer so the sub owns the bottom, saturator to add a bit of harmonic presence, and then a compressor sidechained from the kick so the bass ducks just enough to make room. If the drums are doing a lot of rhythmic work, the bass should be disciplined. In old school style swing, the bass is part of the conversation, not a wall of sound. Now let's turn the loop into a small arrangement. For an 8-bar idea, you could start with filtered drums and break textures for the first 2 bars, then bring in the core drum loop and a teaser of bass in bars 3 and 4. Bars 5 and 6 can be the full drop, with a complete drum and bass pocket. Then bars 7 and 8 can give you a switch up, a fill, or a chopped break variation. Automation is your friend here. Open up a low-pass filter on the intro, throw some reverb on a snare fill before the drop, maybe add a delay hit on one percussion accent, and automate the Reese cutoff slightly to build tension. Little moves like that make the arrangement feel like it's evolving instead of just looping. If you're aiming for a darker roller, keep the intro more atmospheric and let the low end enter later. If you want something more jungle-leaning, you can reveal the chopped break earlier and bring the sub in later. If you're going for a more neuro-leaning feel, keep the drums busy but the bass more controlled. A few common mistakes are worth avoiding. Don't swing every element equally. That usually kills the contrast that makes the groove work. Don't push groove pool timing too far, or the whole thing will start sounding late instead of human. Don't let the break fight the kick. Clean up the low end if needed. Don't overlayer the bass under a swung drum pattern. Leave it room to breathe, and keep your sub mono. Always check the low end in mono if you can. Also, watch your hats. If they get too loud or too bright, they'll dominate the groove and make everything feel thinner than it really is. And don't quantize ghost notes into submission. Those tiny accidental feeling hits are part of the magic. A few pro-level ideas can push this further. Use saturation as glue, not just aggression. Try parallel drum bus on a return track and blend it in under the clean drums for extra weight. Add a little pre-snare noise or a reverse cymbal before a drop for tension. If the groove feels too clean, offset one percussion layer by ear instead of by grid. Tiny imperfections often make the most convincing old-school feel. You can also alternate groove density every two bars. Keep one bar tighter, the next bar busier, then swap it on the repeat. That makes the loop feel like it's breathing. Or use two break fragments, one for hats and ghost texture, another for a snare or kick accent. Crossfade between them for movement without clutter. Here's a quick practice challenge.